welcome to episode 20 of Keith's Craft Collective. This week, the blather is about irony. We have the craft fairy and the Scottish segment. I have the news, the hellos, the updates of the Keithney's Textile Artists and Vimto Craft Group, and also the Spinning Guild. The textile technique this week is very apt for Britain as it is on snow dyeing. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Get your cup of tea and your craft and I'll tell you what crack is in Keithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Irony. When I thought up this subject, I thought, oh, get me. I'm all organised to have a blather subject 2 episodes in advance. But when I came to start putting words down, I couldn't think of anything. Now that's ironic. This was supposed to be episode 18. Irony. The Wikipedia definition is that the word ironic is sometimes used for a synonym of for incongruous, which I can hardly say, in situations where there is no double audience and no contradiction between the ostensible and true meaning of the words. An example of such usage. Ironically, Sir Arthur Sullivan is remembered for the comic operas he found embarrassing rather than the serious works that he hoped would be his legacy. Of course, the song this episode is Ironic by Alanis Morissette. I watched the YouTube video with the lyrics on, and well, you know what, apart from it's like rain on your wedding day, and I'm not going to sing it, I was tempted but I'm not very good, but I hadn't a clue what the words were, so I've got a link to the YouTube video and then you can read them too. It's quite a good way of discussing the ins and outs of irony. I note below the video, people have put comments on and several people have posted that they are studying it in their English classes at school. I always remember my English teacher telling us that irony was when you've waited all day for that special telephone call, you go to the toilet and then the phone rings. And actually, my very good friend, Mike Mann, or Agent Mahoney to you, was employed into my section at work many years ago, and he told us that when the boss rang up to offer him the job, his 4-year-old bairn answered the phone with the now immortal words of, "I'm sorry, my daddy is having a poo." I can still see his face and I laugh at that. Thankfully, the boss had a bairn and just laughed and rang back once Agent Mahone had finished his business. Alanis Morissette was in the film Dogma, and she plays God at the end. This is a very clever film, and I would recommend it, but beware, it's got very good, bad language, so if you can ignore that, then give it a watch. One of my favourite films is The Wizard of Oz, and Wikipedia says that it's a story whose plot revolves around irony. I didn't know this. Dorothy travels to a wizard and fulfills his challenging demands to go home before discovering that she had the ability to go back home all the time. The Scarecrow longs for intelligence only to discover that he is already a genius. The Tin Woodsman longs to be capable of love only to discover that he already had a heart. The Lion, who at first appears to be a whimpering coward, turns out to be bold and fearless. The people of the Emerald City believed that the wizard to be a powerful deity, only to discover that he was a bumbling, eccentric old man. I never knew all that, because I just liked it because of the songs and the ruby slippers. So, here's ironic. How about you hoover with your new actual hoover? That's me, because my Bosch hoover died. And the house is nice and clean. So then your hubby decides it's a good day to sweep the chimney. So I had to hoover again. Irons. Get yourself a good heavy iron if you're a textile artist. Also best to have 2 irons if you do textile arts, as I've said a few things that you're painting, sewing, sticking, seaming. Your good iron can often get covered in muck, which is what you really don't want transferred onto your good clothes. Crafting. Now how ironic is that I was knitting a wee hat and I thought, I don't think I'm going to have enough wool here, so I finished it 1 centimetre sooner than it was supposed to. So then I cast it off. I realised, darn blasted, that I actually did have more than enough to make it correctly after all. Recently, Yarn Harlot tweeted, "Irony alert, have a doctor's appointment this morning and just considered cancelling because I don't feel well enough." Perhaps I should put her in the get well section, but I loved her sense of humour when I read that. And I thought, oh, I'll put that in. I was also lusting after an iPhone recently. Well, I ended up upgrading to an HTC something mini or other. And it's smart as a smartphone should be, but I ironically fear that I am not yet smart enough to use it properly. Or, well, it won't speak to the car adapter, so I can't listen to the podcast in the car. So I'm currently at the getting to know it stage. And I've knitted it a cover. How nice. I did manage to change my location to Taipei on the world clock, which is plus 8 hours GMT. And you know what? I didn't even know where that was. But I do now because I've looked it up. It is the largest city in Taiwan, and it's probably where the phone was made. The blue rinse came back to get me this week. Daisy found Granny's blue watercolour paint, and she put it up all her arms and her hair, and as she got scrubbed in the bath, Granny said that she looked like she had a blue rinse, and I thought she looked like a smurf. So that's irony getting its own back on me there, because Daisy often smells of pee, being still a nappies. Well, the potty training was a bit scary, so we went back to nappies. I should not down the blue rinse brigade. Yes, that point has been well driven home with a big hammer now, so we will walk away from that one. We were over on the island of Isla this week working, and we had our tea in a pub where some Canadian holidaymakers came in, and they told us that they were going to teach us Scots how to drink beer. That's like telling a fish how to swim. If you've ever seen a Scotsman drink, then you'll know that they were wasting their time. But we thought it was quite funny. Also on the drinking theme, we went to the Whiskey Isle of Isla, where they have 8 distilleries of very, very fine drams, and I never had a drop. We were in one of the distilleries and 2 of the pubs. Hobby had a famous grouse, which is actually a blend of none of the Isla malts altogether. And also, whilst on the Isla trip, we were in the only place in Scotland where they had no snow, and it was very lovely, and I would much recommend a visit. And finally, you wait, and you wait, and you use up the really smart, cool piece of paper or material that you've been keeping for good in your stash. You finally cut into it, after it finally thinks this is what it wants to be, and it tells you, and you cut it wrong, and you kind of use it in the way you want to. Or, you know you have the perfect colour of blue paint to match the rest of the project, but you can't find it in your newly tidied up craft room. Probably Daisy has got it to paint herself blue. Or, you've tidied up and you threw things out. How often do you want something 3 weeks after you've chucked it, after deciding there's no way you'll ever need a bright yellow piece of net? Daisy would make a great wee ballerina, you know. Although I think there's still a wee bit hiding at the back of the shelf. So, Dorothy, whether it's blue rinses or ruby slippers, Canadian beer drinkers, or you wrote the Mikado, irony is here to taunt us and to teach us. Don't go for a pee when you're waiting on the phone call. Right, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back after because it's time for the Daisy laugh. To the craft fairy segment. Who I know now lives on Isla. I have a story, as I always do. We were due to meet somebody on Isla, but they were actually working on the mainland, and our paths never quite crossed. Anyway, conversations and emails passed with promises to meet soon, and that, well, that's sort of fine. Got home, and on Twitter, I was now followed by Torin Isla. Hello to you out there. I said hello, and I wonder if I walked past her on Isla. She has the same second name as this business acquaintance, and tweeted something about his work, and I thought, oh, yeah, I wonder if she knows him. Turns out it's her son. And I never told anybody on Isla that I was podcasting or who I was on Twitter. And I had mentioned that I used Twitter, but it was more for the work than the fun. And there she is, a crafter and a mum of the businessman we were due to meet. Telling you, Craft Fairy lives on Isla. I currently would like some more double-sided sail tape and some 3-sided aperture cards for my felt cards. Torin Isla would actually like a small loom that's not too expensive and can be posted to Isla. Knitting Kitten would like a spinning wheel. I've actually finally ordered mine from Sandy Spinners, and they have the best deal that I could find on Ashford Joy double treadle with carry case. Also, sending some get well wishes to Coggy T and Kelpat. Hello section. We have now been joined by Poland, Romania, Denmark, the Russians are back, in the United Nations of Crafting. I thought Ukraine had finally made contact, but they must have thought I was boring on Twitter because they didn't follow me for very long. Hello to Stacey W and Frey Dale, who have joined the group on Ravelry. I love the chat and your project pages. Also, Live and Let Learn, Leafy Dragon and Puella63. I really, really, really love getting messages on Ravelry, so even if you're just saying, hello, go on, do it because I like it. Hello to the new Twitters, especially Tor and Isla. Tweet me, I'll tweet back and say hello. I now have a new phone, so I can almost tweet you anytime. Mind you, the first time I tried it, my fingers were too big for the wee buttons. I used Sandy's fingers, but A, they were attached to him, and B, they're a bit dirty. Although he is a little boy, and that's his job.
The news.
News section. Drive-by Friendly. Go into Ravelry and People tab, then scroll down to see who else has the same pattern taste as you, and then do some drive-by friending. I heard this phrase on Knit the Journey's conversation with Elise, and I thought, I like that, it's quite funny. It's where you go friend someone, but you don't put a message or a reason. So, your mission this week is, and I will be doing the same, go to Ravelry, go to the tab marked People, and scroll down. And it'll give you a wee list of people who have the same patterns that you have. So they're obviously pretty cool people. So go in and befriend them. You could send them a message, but that's not the mission, soldier. So hot two, get clicking and report back on who you choose. And I will too, and if I get anything back on it, like what on earth are you friending me for? Also, I note in Thurso Homemade Shop that there are crafty demonstrations and craft for sale on the 11th of December for Christmas presents. The craft fair at May Hall that I was talking about the last episode was cancelled due to snow. And Jenny from Vinto set up her house on Thursday night as a shop, and we invited friends and family around who very kindly bought some of our wares. There was also a sale on Saturday in the Canisby Hall to replace the May Hall event. Sadly, it wasn't that busy, but Jenny did okay. I wouldn't say I did. Did everyone listen to the Knit the Journey interview with Mimi? We talked in September, I think, and she said it was scheduled for November. And I thought, well, St. Andrew's Day is a tenuous link, and suggested the last week in November. So happy St. Andrew's Day to all you Scottish types, and also to Susan. She did a wonderful job editing it, although the sound quality is suspect, but as we were talking across 3,000 miles, I think it is completely forgivable. I particularly love my local yarn shop idea of having Doctor Who's TARDIS as the shop. Anyway, thanks again to Susan. It is a pleasure, and I hope you all enjoy carry on listening to her podcast. Oh aye, the Podbean page has been playing up. Apologies for this, but it doesn't like me very much. Mum said that she couldn't get onto it properly, so I went onto her computer and it asked something, which I clicked yes to. And now only the half the page appears, and it said episode 19, but showed the information for episode 16, and there was no photos. So, after getting quite frustrated and not throwing it out of Mother's window, I figured out that you, apart from getting it from iTunes, or if you already feed to it through the RSS feed, I don't actually know what that means, so don't ask me. You can still access the information, and also in Ravelry, I always put up I've just putting the show notes up there. So if you go to Ravelry, you'll find it. If not, and you want any more information, just contact me. But if you go to the Podbean webpage and you go to the right, click the subscribe to RSS feed, and it's still showable at the right hand side underneath the dog's picture. I can access it properly on my own computer, but then Sarah said it was weird and hers as well. So I'm thinking it happened when I was fiddling on the page and changed the profile picture a few months ago. I did try changing it back and they said it made no difference. So sorry to anyone out there if it affects you. And you can still get me, but it might be a little while till I get this fixed, as I have no idea how to do it. Any Podbean experts, please contact me. Right, moving on.
Scottish segment.
The Scottish segment. As the 30th of November saw St Andrew's Day for Scotland, and whilst we don't really celebrate it as much as Burns Night or the Irish have St Patrick's Day, we do note it, and some people get dressed up in tartan. I thought I would tell you about him this episode and get back to the Viking Raiders next time. This was taken from the BBC website. Patron saint of Scotland is more a man of myths and legends than hard facts. There are many contradictory accounts about St Andrew's life, death and legacy that have been promoted at various stages in religious history. St Andrew never visited Scotland, but centuries after his death it is said that his bones were brought to Kilremont. Kilremont, renamed St Andrew's, became a powerful religious centre. There are many schools of thought on how and why Andrew's bones came to Scotland. What is not disputed is that after the bones arrived, Andrew became the focus of national aspiration. Direct link. One explanation is that King Knechtan of the Picts, remember the Picts? The Picts are the ones with the paint, was looking for a way to promote the Pictish kingdom as a powerful stronghold of Christianity. He'd already established a bishopric at Abernethy, and after Knechtan abdicated in 738 to become a monk, he was succeeded by King Angus I. Whilst Angus was not as pious as Knechtan, he was looking to establish a similar sacred centre in the Pict kingdom as existed in Lindisfarne, where St Cuthbert's bones lay, and then had St Andrew's relics brought to Fife. A common legend is that St Regulus, also known as St Rule, who was the keeper of St Andrew's bones at Patras, where St Andrew was crucified. Regulus was told in a dream to take St Andrew's bones from Patras to form a church where he landed. It is said that St Regulus was shipwrecked at Fife, and this established a direct link between St Andrew and Scotland, conveniently ignoring the remaining bones that had earlier been taken to Italy. The legend also conveniently circumvents the fact that St Andrew's bones had ever been on English soil. In reality, the bones were most likely to have been brought to Scotland via Hexham by Acca, the Bishop of Hexham, who was a follower of St Andrew. The Battle of Athelstanford. Another explanation is that King Angus II, who ruled from 820 to 840, was the founder of St Andrews. Michael T.R.B. Turnbull, author of St Andrews, Scotland's Myth and Legends, explains, at the same time St Rule reaches Muckross in Fife, the apostle appears to the Pictish King Angus at the Battle of Athelstanford and promises victory over his enemies. While there is little doubt that a battle or series of skirmishes similar to Athelstanford took place at some date and some time, we are with the foundation of the church at Kilremont on much surer ground, since it refers to an easily recognisable institution, the site of what eventually became the great cathedral church of St Andrews. He added, the battle at Athelstanford was a watershed in Scottish history, the symbol and sign of a decisive turning point where Christianity finally succeeded in winning over the most influential royal, civic and military backing. St Andrew's Day is celebrated in Scotland on the 30th of November every year. It's known as the birth date of the saint, but probably owes more to the fact that Gregory of Tours, 583-594, wrote of St Andrew's miracles, and Gregory's birthday happened to fall on 30th of November. So there you go, St Andrew. He was a dude. Back to the Vikings next episode. And it was quite good because it's all about the same timescales that we've been talking about at 738 and, well, we've gone past 538. Now, Caithness textile artist. Celia came back from Cuba with presents of bonny necklaces made from seeds. It's bonny and will be handy if we ever get stuck in the snow, we can have a wee munch on it. I think that she was thinking that we would use them as beads, but everybody put it straight round their necks and they are actually very pretty. I've been wearing mine a fair bit. I was sewing on beads for my felted cards, which sold. We decided to order some more of the Procyon dyes and have a dyeing of material day in the new year. Catherine asked if I had finished my big project from the beginning of the year, and I'm sad to say no, I haven't, and I don't see it being finished this year either. I will soon, though. We've had the usual show and tells, and as ever, they have all been busy. Shame on me. The textile technique this week is on snow dyeing, and as there is an awful lot of snow in Britain just now, we have got no excuse. You lot in Australia, you've got sunshine, you can do the sun dyeing. There's a technique for you too. Where were we? Right, you need cotton or muslin material, a cat litter tray, soda ash, Procyon dye, your penny and some snow. Now, I was going to make a penny this episode, wasn't I? Well, we can do that next week, but snow is here, so let's use it now. I've got a cracking tutorial that I found on the internet for you, and I like her blog, so go there and have a few other places to see the results. It's very, very, very cool, because Anne at Textile Artist has done it, and she got some beautiful results, and I remember then afterwards she used the material on one of the quilts. It's www.gailmackay.wordpress.com, and then she goes into her blog for snow dyeing, but the link's on the show notes, and it's much easier to find it from there. Get your material and pre-soak it in soda ash, then put it at the bottom of the cat litter tray, or the tutorial uses plastic tubs like I used for putting the bairns' toys in. You then pile on the snow, and it's cold work, but, well, we've got to do something with it. Then, when the snow is evenly distributed over the material, pour the dye over it to cover the area where the material is under. And you can play here, and you can add on more than one colour if you want. Put the tub somewhere for it to melt. She put it near the fire. Not on the fire, because otherwise the plastic tub would melt. But once the snow has melted away, mostly, you take out the material and rinse it till the water becomes clear. And you could leave the snow melted dye water and then add some extra material if you wanted, or if it's not too diluted, store it in milk carton trays for up to a month or so later. You then run the material through the washing machine to set the dye, and once it's dry, you will achieve the effect of lovely snow dyeing material. Done. A la Gordon Ramsay. Spinning Guild. Well, I was away and didn't make spinning, and then they cancelled it because of the snow. But I have a report from the knitting kitting correspondent who said, well, four of us made it through the treacherous conditions for the love of wool. One of the ladies bought some wee tasty mince pies for a craft fair to sustain us in case we got snowed in. We didn't, but we ate them anyway. Most exciting for me, which is knitting kitting, not me, was that I spun my very first ball of wool. Anne was kind enough to lend me her wheel and some fluff. She's not sure what the technical term is, but whatever it is, you may use to make yarn. Neither do I. I would say roving or fleece. But it's whatever you floats your boat. And Anne had been spinning some very, very fine Angora-type yarn, which was very beautiful. They were supposed to be on again today, but it was cancelled because of the snow. I'll let you know as and when it starts up again after Christmas. So, on to Vimto Group. This was from the Sarah correspondent because I couldn't meet Vimto either due to husband being away this time. She said that they were mainly swapping the round robins. And actually, I now have Lisa's round robin and I'll have to crack on with it because the next meet is Thursday and I've not even looked out the yarn for it yet. The last one I did was Sarah's and I told you last time that I spun the wool. Yeah, and we had dye from her sheep and her dye pot, and I had washed the fleece and guarded it, so it's both our fleece really. Anyway, I did a garter stitch on her scarf and I let the yarn do the talking because it was a bonny green in the end. It wasn't as long as it should have been for everybody's section, but I was quite impressed well enough and I didn't want to add anything to spoil it, and my grey still clashed with everything. It was quite a chunky weight, and the tension was the same as the previous person's, but not the same as the start. And, however, it did tone in and it looked lovely. And it was hand-spun. They were also getting ready for the craft fair that wasn't to be, and admiring everybody's work. This Thursday is Vimto Party Night, and you're all invited. I will take some photos and maybe some audio. We don't do any craft, but us wifeys and maybe a husband or two will have party games sober and have a right laugh. I'm doing the quiz, and we will have Pass the Parcel, Secret Santa, Left to Right game. It's where you each take a small parcel, and this time it will be of craft stuff that you want to pass on. So look up the left and the right script on the internet and see what I mean. It's good crack, and last time I changed it to suit the Vimto gang, and it was wonderful fun for sober people, and I am looking forward to it very much. That was Vimto. And myself, because yes, it is the me show. I have decided to get myself a spinning wheel for Christmas, as mentioned before from Sandy Spinners in Orkney, and I mentioned them in episode 17. I'm happy to put my business their way. Anyway, Caroline will be getting her very kindly borrowed wheel back soon. I have been and bought some fleece from Whitmore and Hamilton Wool Shop in Oban, and yes, I know I said I wasn't going to buy it, but it was payment for me driving in the snow to get down to Isla for work. I'm cheap. It was only £3 for 100 grams. I bought four. I bought two in dark pink and two in light pink, and they are actually from the new Lanark Mill. And I've actually been there for a wedding years and years and years ago, and I'm now glad to spin their fleece because I have heard all about it, but never actually seen it or bought any. I've got no plan for this pink, but I think I've got enough. I've got 400 grams to do something interesting with it. I have finished the Giselda Teague Urchin Berry. Check out my Ravelry page for a picture of the back of my head looking over to Jura west on the ferry to Isla. and you dinna get much more Scottish than that, unless it comes with haggis and bagpipes. Now, we did have porridge with salt and prunes at Mrs. McNeil's B&B, and haggis and neeps and tatties for tea, so I did tick all the boxes, but it's actually not very unusual for me to have porridge, haggis, neeps and tatties, not all at the same time. I would completely recommend Mrs. McNeil's B&B Lambeth House Beaumore, which is very, very nice. She had actually did have a picture on her wall that her cousin, Pat Beveridge, had made. And she is www.patbeveridgeart.co.uk, and I wished I had a photo of it to show you. It was of an old boat on the shore at Portnahaven, and they had a photo of it, and Pat had made a picture of it. And it was appliqued onto material and then painted and stitched, and it was very, very good. Have a look on her website for some talent, and also if you want to buy some. Anyway, I finished the Urchin Berry the night before we went to Isla, and it was made from my very own hand-spun wool from Sarah's mule sheep. I learned how to do provisional cast-on, which actually isn't all that hard and I can use again, and I also learned how to wrap and turn, which is what you do with socks, I think. Also learned how to graft the ends together while watching Spider-Man 2, which has no relevance whatsoever, but that was on telly at the time. And I finished it just in time to go to Isla with to keep my heed warm. It is 100% wool, and it's just the ticket for keeping me cosy. I also finished off the hand-spun wool by making a wee case for my new smartphone so it's nice and warm. Well, it keeps the face from being scratched, to be perfectly honest. And it matches my hat, but I may dye it yet. On the ferry back, I carried on knitting my handbag, made from the North Florence yarn, and I've finished both sides now, but I've got to knit a long strip, 5 centimetres in garter stitch to make the handle and then the gusset for it. I've also started spinning the brown Jacob fleece for hubby's hat that he was very impressed with my berry from the handspun, and he said he wanted his warm hat for himself. So he said he would look after the bairns for a time whilst I got on with spinning it. I managed to sell my berry that I made a while ago that didn't suit me. Well, Karen really suited it, so it's gone to a good home. She went off with the extra wool too and the same yarn to make a scarf. I've done hee-haw textiles as it's been too cold to go upstairs and have been away, but I have got Dorothy's round robin to do something with. The Christmas cards are pretty much finished and I will be carrying on with them tomorrow night to post this week. So that's me. Remember the drive-by friending experiment. Rightio, I hope you're all safe in the snow. Thank you for listening, and if you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or on Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or kathiscraftcollective@googlemail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes, or on kathiscraftcollective.podbean.com. Beware of any bugs in that system, though. Also on Twitter as Kathy's Craft. All the links are in the show notes, so go there and click anything if you want more information on. Or just email me if you can't get in. The music this week is Caledonia by Caledonix from www.musicalley.com, playing us out. Cheers for listening and keep on crafting. Now I'm going.